Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There is nothing more exciting or more humbling, in my opinion, than preaching God's word to God's people, and especially doing so to a new group of people. Having spent the last 8 years, almost to the day, in the same congregation, being here in a new congregation, in a new state, in a new district, is a different and exciting experience. For one thing, you can see a whole lot more trees out the windows. I remember a seminary professor explaining in, I think it was one of our preaching classes, that when you begin at a new congregation, you start off as a, for lack of a better, a guest preacher, but as you come to know the people, over time you get to be less and less of a guest preacher and more just the preacher. I look forward to having the opportunity to get to know you all over the next days, weeks, months, years. But for today, what better way to begin our ministry together than with Paul's words in our epistle reading, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." And as Paul works his way into the calling which we have as God's people, there are two key teachings that he has for us on what it means to be God's people. First, that we are all a single body just as God is one Lord. And second, that the one church has been given a variety of servants, all of whom serve to build the church up in Christ. Now we start off in the beginning of our reading from verse 4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. There is one God, and we are all united in the one single body of Christ, the one church. As we say in the Creed, the one holy apostolic church. One holy Christian and apostolic church. Verses 4 to 6 here are one of those passages that kind of sounds a lot like an early creedal statement. As we read through Paul's letters, we find these places where it looks like he is quoting something that's common knowledge to his hearers. Another one of those is 1 Corinthians 8, verse 6, which is a, for lack of a better, a Christianization of Deuteronomy 6, verse 4, the earliest, for lack of a better, Jewish creedal statement. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And Paul takes this in 1 Corinthians and says, "There is one God, the Father, from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist." One God, one Lord, or in Ephesians, one Lord, one faith, one baptism. As Christians, we do not confess that there are three gods or three lords as the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but there is just one God, one Lord, whom we know to be three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God is one, but he is also three persons. How is that the case? We don't actually have a clear answer. We only accept it by faith. The oneness of God, one God in three persons, offers us a template for our unity in the church. There is one God, there is one church. On a congregational level, we see this, that in our creed, every week we confess together our common Christian faith in this one God, using the words of either the Nicene or Apostles' Creed, or once a year, the Athanasian Creed. As we live together in our congregation, we demonstrate how this unity is alive and well when we all work together towards a single goal, the one hope that belongs to our one call, as Paul says in verse 4. We also see this unity in our Holy Communion when we declare our communal faith with all of those who are at the table with us. And that's an aspect of communion that sometimes I think that we gloss over or forget about, is that when we kneel at this altar, we are confessing three things to God: that I am a sinner in need of forgiveness, that I believe that this is Christ's true body and blood, and that God forgives my sins through this great gift. But at the same time, we also confess to our unity with all of those who are also communing here at this altar with us. When you come up front to commune, you are confessing that you believe what is taught from this pulpit, what is spoken from this altar, that you are in communion with all of those who are kneeling here beside you. What a great blessing this unity of faith and confession is for us here in Sanford, and yet it goes beyond Sanford to the whole church. Our unity, the one church, isn't just St. Paul Lutheran Church here in Sanford, Michigan. It is that we are part of a much larger one body of Christ than what we see here around us today. We are also united with the other congregations in our circuit, in our district, of which we saw some representatives last week. We are united with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, of which we are a part. We are united with so many other church bodies around the world through our shared confession of faith. A couple days ago, I was talking about this with Pastor Wright the other night. I got an email about our brothers and sisters in the Evangelical Lutheran Mission Diocese of Finland, a church body that's part of the International Lutheran Council, of which we are a part. That's a lot of names. There's not going to be a quiz at the end, but the executive summary is that their newly elected bishop was charged with, quote, incitement against a group of people for his statements on what the Bible teaches. And as Paul writes elsewhere, when one part of the body suffers, the whole body of Christ suffers. And so, representatives of 43 different church bodies, I counted, on every continent except Antarctica, signed a letter of protest to not just the Finnish government, but the United Nations. That is an example of how we are one body of Christ spread throughout the world. But there's another littler example that we also see here in our communion rail, which actually is not a straight line, because, metaphorically at least, our communion connects us to all other churches. The communion rail doesn't end here, it ends in other churches, or unites us to other churches, both here, both the church on earth and the church triumphant in heaven. Our communion is so much greater than all the other people that we see here. However, that unity in the church is only one half of Paul's message for us today. There is one God, there is one Lord, one Spirit living in the one body, but there are also many servants, and God blesses the church with so many people who use their gifts to serve by speaking God's word. Paul, in our reading, lists five categories: the apostles, those who have been commissioned and sent, prophets, those who speak God's word, not just speaking of things that are to come, but speaking God's word to God's people. The evangelist, those who share the good news, the evangel, if you will, the pastors or shepherds, those who tend the flock of God, and the teachers, those who educate in the word. And as we look through the New Testament, we also see other offices enumerated, the elders, the council of leaders in the specific congregations, the deacons who serve as assistants to the apostles, the widows, as Paul talks about to Titus and to Timothy, seem to be the older women in the congregation who carried out mercy work by clothing and feeding those who are in need. There are all of these different offices, all of these different servants, and we can talk ad nauseum about the different titles, about the different offices, whether they are actually separate or whether it's different aspects of a single office, but none of that is important to Paul here. All of these different people, different gifts, different aspects of ministry are all given to the church for a specific purpose. And Paul lays it out very clearly in verse 12. The purpose is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. The work of ministry isn't just being carried out by the pastors or the deacons or the teachers. The work of ministry is carried out by the saints, those who have been made holy by Christ. And so the reason for the different servants, the different varieties of servants, is not to divide the church, but to build up the church through their variety of services and gifts. And today also, the church has been blessed by the ministry of many different church workers, pastors, deacons, teachers, DCEs, deaconesses. You go through the whole list. All of these workers serve in different ways, all working towards that same single goal, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. The goal isn't to do it all themselves. There's much they can do, but not everything. The ministry of the church is the church's ministry, is God's ministry, not a single pastor's. And so the pastor's goal, the goal of church workers, is to use our gifts to equip the church to carry out the church's ministry for Christ. And it's by all working together, following after our one Lord, that we grow together into Christ. And think of the church like a tree. When Paul says that the church grows together, it's kind of like a tree. The church is rooted in Christ, the firm foundation on which the church stands, and all of us are branches sprouting from that same trunk. Some of those branches might not look as beautiful as the others. Some might not appear from the outside to be as important as the others. Some may bear tons of fruit. Some may just have leaves. But all contribute to the tree. They are all joined together to that one body of Christ. So all of us work together in the church, even though we have a variety of gifts and roles. And how incredible it is for us all to be joined together into this one body of Christ. We have not all been given the same gifts. We are not all called to the same forms of service. We have been given different grace or different gifts as a gift from Christ. But we are all members of one body, a body which comes together to serve the one Lord of the church, Jesus Christ. And we are all nourished by the one body and the one blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken and shed for us for the forgiveness of our sins, in which we are all united with all believers in Christ in all times and places. That may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as we are united together in that one body, in that one Christ. Amen.